and welcome to Small Business Big Impact. I'm your host, J.N. Guilfoy, CEO of Meridian Credit Union. This season, we've been diving deep into the theme of community, not just in the business we build, but in how we meet the needs of people we serve. And at the heart of that is strong leadership. For me, leadership isn't about being the one with all the answers. It's about listening and learning, creating a space where the voices of our teams and the communities or customers we serve truly shape our direction. I always remind myself that leadership is about growth. And sometimes that means taking a step back and hearing from those who know the needs the best. Today, I'm really excited to talk to Brandon Day of Community Builders, someone who truly embodies what it means to lead with purpose and listen to the people they serve. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to Small Business Big Impact. I'm your host, J.N. Guilfoy, CEO of Meridian Credit Union. Today, we've got a truly inspiring guest on our show, Brandon Day. The founder of Community Builders joins us to share his incredible journey from struggling to find purpose to creating an impactful social enterprise that's tackling two major crises, affordable housing and the trade deficit. Brandon and his team are changing lives, providing career opportunities, and building stronger communities across Ontario. Welcome, Brandon. I've had the benefit of seeing your organization in action just before Christmas, and so really excited for this conversation today. So thank you for saying yes to joining us, and I look forward to hearing your story and for our listeners to hear your story, because it's really special. So let's start by, you know, you mentioned that your journey into Community Builder started because you were unhappy and searching for purpose. So can you tell us a bit more about that time in your life and what led you to want to create change?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jan. And just happy to be here to have this meaningful conversation with you. So looking back on my life, that is really how Community Builder started. I was not really happy in my own work, looking for purpose. Just trying to find out what that rumor was around that job that you could find where you're whistling to work and you're happy and you're motivated and you get up every day excited to do the thing. And I just, for whatever reason, couldn't find that for the longest time. So I think it was probably about a 10-year journey, to be honest, in and out of different jobs and just trying to find that purpose. And I think when I made that connection to why my work matters, I was volunteering with Habitat for Humanity overseas as a global village leader. And I think it was the connection we're making with the people that were working on site. It was really a recipe that I learned later on that was, you know, I was using the skills and the talents that I have to meet a need in the community. And that was kind of the recipe for purpose that I was finding. You know, it wasn't a requirement to have any skills in construction to work with Global Village. However, that's what I had. And I had those ability to lead a team. And so I was watching other people get purpose from that as well. So when I go home, you know, I'm running my own construction company. Things are going relatively well. However, I'm just like not happy when I go home. And I'm wondering why that is. And I think a lot of it was to do with the pressure of just being a small business owner. All that weights on you. And really, you know, it's just a bit of a stressful atmosphere. And I couldn't help but think, if I had a team and we were doing something a little bit more meaningful, very similar to what we were doing overseas, what would that look like? And so as I came home and I'm going, okay, how do I replicate something like this? So it's not just my vacation. It's not just the 2 weeks I go away a year where I'm making a difference, but how do I make that difference back home? And so I started volunteering with this organization called Redwood, who was providing transitional housing for women and children fleeing domestic violence. And again, I was able to meet a need that they had in the community with the skill set that I had by giving back. And it also just really opened up my eyes to the fact that there's not just poverty over in South and Central America and in Africa and Southeast Asia. Like, this exists right here in my hometown in Barrie. It's just a little bit harder to see, right? And so Redwood really opened my eyes to that, and also opened my eyes to the fact that there's not enough volunteers in the world to solve the affordable housing crisis. It really is a beast and it needs all hands on deck. So through actually connecting with the executive director at Redwood, I was able to start working with him because, again, he, running a charity, was also forced to go get a job to earn a salary because in a newly minted charity, this is just kind of where you're at sometimes, right? You're trying to get something off the ground. So we were working together as he was project managing a custom home build. I had my team doing some of the different scopes of work on that build, and it was just going good. We were working with people that I would just say like also were happy in their work, just like nice people in construction trying to, you know, do their thing every single day. And there was just good vibes on that site. And for whatever reason, one day I just said to Tim, what would it look like if we did something different, more geared to affordable housing? And that was really the question that started Community Builders.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that story. I like your comment about, you know, you could have all the volunteers in the world, but it's not going to solve the affordable housing crisis. Really appreciate that. So like we talked about, you are addressing two challenges, right? You're addressing the home challenge and you're also addressing a trades deficit. So how do you tailor your programs to meet the sort of needs of each organization or community that you deal with?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, when we first got into this, that was it. It was how do we make a difference in the affordable housing sector? And really one key way that we identified right off the bat was secondary suites. We just saw that opportunity. There was, you know, everyone's got a home. Everyone's got kids that are going off to school or parents that are aging or an empty basement. So there was really an opportunity for homeowners to be part of the solution to creating affordable housing. There was also some granting programs to help people with the funds to do that in our area that we found out that people were struggling to access, mainly because they weren't able to be successful in like working with contractors, going through the design phase, going through building permit phase. And that was something that we could deliver on. So we created that program, our own secondary suite program, and it was doing really well. And that was like what I would say was the inception of Community Builders. But then immediately it became really obvious to us that there's this trades deficit coming. We weren't like totally feeling it at the time, but we were hearing of it, right? It was something that was on our radar. And so, you know, the thought process was like, how are we going to build all the affordable housing that people need? Not just us, everybody that's participating in this problem. How are we going to do that without the tradespeople that we need? So that was the next big problem to solve. And through, you know, some connections I had in the sector, I met this awesome couple of guys, Mark Soberano from Building Up, Sean Loney out from Winnipeg, Social Enterprise Godfather, and just met these guys. And wow, it just sent me on a whole different path to see this trades training piece that they had. And not only did they have it, I was like, we're kind of already doing that. Like I was already accessing YMCA programs, giving people jobs, you know, trying to do our part that way. And it's like, oh, this is just a more formal way of doing this, right? There's all these people that want to work, but they're just not getting the opportunities that others are getting. So how do we help show them this amazing career path in construction? And that was the idea for the training program.
That's great. So, you know, I talked to other entrepreneurs who, you know, started a business that they didn't know much about, but they had a passion for something to do with that business, right? So whether that was inspiring because, you know, they had a child that was disabled and they wanted to do this thing, or they liked plants. But you actually have a background in construction. And so you were able to marry that with your business model. So do you think that helped you get things up and operating faster?
Yeah, I definitely do. You know, I cut my teeth in construction from a very young age in like all different sectors of construction. I was pretty blessed to work in a family business that gave me all those opportunities. However, I just really couldn't pinpoint what my love was there and didn't really find out later that it really actually was creating opportunities. And so that's kind of how I married those two things. I'm not on the tools now. I love doing that kind of stuff still, but I think what it really gets me up out of bed in the morning is to do that, is to connect those opportunities that seem to be coming with the folks that are looking for those opportunities. So yeah, I was able to, I don't know, just, I think that path found me, to be honest, being open to it.
I think that's a good lesson though, right? Sometimes it's, you know, if you stick with what you know, you can new opportunities open up versus trying to start with a blank piece of paper and figure it out. So maybe talk about your business model and why you chose that one.
So Community Builders is a nonprofit social enterprise. And that term social enterprise really is that idea of the two types of business meeting. We've got the nonprofit sector, very mission and purpose driven, which is legally what we are, but we're using business as a tool for good. It's a beautiful model that I love. And, you know, not only did I grow up in construction, but I grew up in a very, I don't know, giving family. So I have a lot of experience working with charities and nonprofits, or at least volunteering and giving. And I could always see that was like something that was missing. And when I got more into the sector itself, I was like, oh my goodness, like so many of these charities and nonprofits are so reliant on funding. If they don't get their funding or political winds change, that could be devastating to them and their staff. So when I started Community Builders, I just did what I knew how to do, which was start a business. And so, you know, that's not a very onerous process in the beginning. However, after going through that for a little while and trying to fund this idea of a training program just by the little bit of profits from a construction company, it was just a no-go. It was not sustainable. The level of good, like I said, you know, around the volunteers and in creating affordable housing, like you need all, this is a huge problem. We need the best and the brightest on this. We need just a lot of resources driven towards solving these big problems that are essentially benefiting everyone in society by doing so, right? So it's a huge problem. And so that piece around not being able to get any funding, and what nobody tells you is when you do start a nonprofit, you don't get any funding anyways for 2 to 3 years. And it's a hard slog then too. So it's nice to be on the other side of that part. But the main way that we earn revenue is through contracts and construction, which is, you know, over 2/3 of our revenue comes from that alone, which is why I love this model so much. Is it's just a little bit more sustainable, right? You have the ability to just go out to market, get jobs, and people who are giving you those jobs actually get the opportunity to participate and unlock all this community value. They're already going to use that money to buy and procure construction services. If they do it with us, if they do it with Community Builders, they're supporting people getting into meaningful employment. They're contributing to affordable housing. They're helping people stay out of prison. They're helping people, the savings of getting people off social assistance. It's like astronomical, the value of working with social enterprise. So that's what really attracted me to the model and why I went into that. Yeah.
So when you started putting out what you were doing to the market, what sort of challenges did you face in the beginning?
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I would say that when I look at, you know, we have a coalition of a few different social enterprises that we all talk and share across Canada. And I think probably one of the biggest challenges for them starting as nonprofits, or most of the people that I know that have started social enterprises start off as nonprofits. So they're really like waiting for that first successful grant. And they're struggling with things that the business side of things doesn't struggle with as much. So for instance, I already had a construction company. So coming in with suppliers like your local home hardwares and your Home Depots and things like that, I'm able to go in and just get an account. Same thing as a bank. You can go get a little bit of credit. Not too many people want to do that for newly minted nonprofits, right? So I kind of had the opposite journey as most, where it's like we're moving a construction company into a nonprofit versus a nonprofit that's trying to create a construction company.
So you're now training over 100 people a year, and you've grown to 80 employees. How do you measure success, and what impact have you seen so far? It's a big question.
We're going to places people haven't been before. So it's really hard. It's hard work, and it's getting a little bit easier as more and more people understand and come along and join with us to do this work. But in terms of success, I think it's not about just like going across Canada or having a million locations or training a million people. It's the quality of the things that we're doing. So, you know, we are planning on going into a few new communities this year, and we are planning on trying to train some more people, but we don't want the quality of what we're doing to get watered down. So right now is really like a period where we're being a little hard on ourselves to just get in a place that we can be really sustainable and like continue to deliver this quality, because we think that it is a solution for so many other communities. It's really like an outlet. Even when we started a new location in Sudbury years ago, that was it. Like, I'd go home and I'd hear, to visit family and things like that. And I would hear those stories of people that are just so frustrated with these problems around homelessness and unemployment and opioid crisis and mental health. And they just don't know what to do with it. So they're grasping at straws. They're getting angry. And I'm seeing this as like, what an opportunity this is for communities as an outlet to, get real results. And so, yeah, that success for me is us just having woven ourselves so deeply into the culture that and the community that people would miss us if we were gone. If that's true, then that's success to me. Yeah.
And so 100 people a year, how many years now have you been doing this?
It's going to be eight. Yeah.
Eight.
We're in our eighth year.
So what's the success factor of those? Some of them work for you. Obviously, I got to meet some of those, but some of them go out and do other things. Have you been measuring what the success rate is of the people who leave your training program and go into the construction business?
Yeah. So of our graduates through the program, 89% are getting full-time employment.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah. That's the weird thing about our model is like when people come in the door, they have no experience and we train them so that they're great employees. And then we pass them on to the sector and do it all over again. So
talk a bit about what kind of a culture you've created that gives them that confidence. Because when I listen to you about the types of people who come, having barriers, they've probably been turned away. They probably have self-esteem issues. They probably, have challenges in their life and they're like afraid of doing like a failure, right? So how do you help that in the way you've developed the program?
I would say like I would wrap that all into like we're providing supportive employment. So, not everybody has cheerleaders in their life. Not everybody has people that'll open doors for them or give them that word of encouragement. And like just as much as teaching people about construction is the mentorship and the support that comes with what we're doing, right? We just give people time to learn. We try to help them learn the way that they're going to learn. We're really realistic about what the construction industry looks like. And focusing on that resiliency piece that's going to help people actually get through those tough times, because nobody can take those tough times away from you. Life is hard. It's always going to be hard, but we can get better at doing hard things. So that's a big message in our program. And yeah, we see people kind of walk in with their head down sometimes, but they're always leaving with their head up because
do they get to stay connected to you once they go and they like, is there a way that they stay connected to their cohort, like a formalized way they stay connected to their cohorts and their people that they've been training with? Yeah.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. And we've also created an alumni program because, every cohort that graduates, we have more and more people that we want to continue to support. And they stay in contact and build their own network. And, there's new employment opportunities and skills upgrading through like staying involved that way. We want people's first call if anything ever happens with their employment to be us. So.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So you mentioned local partnerships. I think you said you're working with others. So how did you build those partnerships and how do you ensure you're not just sort of imposing the one size fits all kind of solution? Like, how do you go at this, I guess, this work?
In terms of building the partnerships?
Yeah.
I think, again, you're just really looking for value alignment with people to make sure like all partnerships have to be win. If everybody's not winning, then it's not a really good partnership. And so I find when you already start with that alignment and we just happen to be, however you want to call it, lucky, I guess is a funny word to say. We're working with two of the biggest problems in Canada. So it's a big deal to a lot of people. And they're seeing, again, this as an outlet. So whether it's like aligning with your ESG strategy vision, or it's aligning with like your specifics, like the Home Depot Foundation, is a funder of ours, who cares about youth employment and affordable housing. It's easy to connect with community builders, I guess, and explore those partnerships and what it could look like. So I just try to be open-minded to doing that and see where we can fit in and plug in with people. And that's been successful.
I got to see your indoor facility where you're building modular homes. And I think there were three homes that were being built at one time. And, you know, pieces of it were built and then you'd take it to the job site. Can you give us a flavor of the types? Yeah, the types of who's buying them and where are they going and all that kind of stuff. I think it would be good to hear.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're really seeing modular as like one of the really good solutions to affordable housing. And, you know, that's one because of the size, you know, so we're able to get smaller footprints that fit a range of the spectrum of affordable housing. You know, you really have nothing from shelter to home ownership. And so anything in between is an apartment. So you're kind of going from zero to $600,000. So modular is like a great option in the middle to have singular ADUs. You can combine them to make small bungalows, low and mid-rise homes and fourplexes, sixplexes, whatever. You can do anything with modular. So what we're seeing as like our niche, because, you know, I don't think we're that commercial modular company that's going out looking to build 1,000 homes or a 100 unit complex. I think we're really appealing to those homeowners that want to put something in their backyard, whether that's to help with their own mortgage relief or that's to have their aging at home parents or their kids after school, multi-generational. Like there's just so many uses for it. So that's one big one. And then also seeing the opportunity to work with other nonprofits and charities that are doing really cool projects using modular. I think that's like one of our great sweet spots. Working with the municipality is something we're hoping to do, you know, because those are taxpayer dollars, again, that can go further by working with an organization like Community Builders. So there's a million different things we can do with modular, and the offsite nature of it is amazing training grounds in the factory, as well as it's like speeding up those timelines and de-risking projects by, you know, allowing you to start the site works while you're also simultaneously building in the factory in a dry climate controlled environment. So, you know, we're just getting into it, but we see this as a really viable way to create more affordable housing.
So if you look back 8 years ago and you started this, what advice would you give to someone wanting to do a double, triple bottom line, purpose-driven business model?
Honestly, it's the smart decision, right? Like people out there, they want to do good. The number one things people are looking for is purpose, flexibility. When you're giving people those things, like you're creating a place where people want to work and good people find good businesses. So I'm noticing that more and more, especially finding a lot of older people or people who have like done the corporate gig, they're finding us and they're, you know, we're not always able to pay them as much as they could have been making in the corporate world. Working on shoring that up, because again, you want the biggest and the brightest solving the biggest problems, right? And so again, I think that old school charity and nonprofit mindset, limiting that is forcing people to make that tough decision where, like, don't get me wrong, you're always making sacrifices in different ways and different things, but like watching people come in their second careers who like truly want to give back, and again, using their skills and talents in the careers that they've built to give back to Community Builders has been one of the coolest things for me to see. And so again, what would my advice be? It would be to go for it. If you can't connect why your work matters, and this is what I would say to everybody is your work does matter. All work matters. You have to find out what that is. We get people come in and they'll say like, I want to be an electrician. And I'll say, why do you want to be an electrician? And they'll be like, well, I heard it makes good money. I go, okay, anything else? You know, they're struggling for that answer. I'm like, do you know you literally bring people light and heat? Like what could be more important than that, right? And you can do that with any job. So that whole like your job is the means to an end kind of thing. Like that's a rough life. Like work's the thing that you do most in your whole life besides probably even more than, well, sleep might, you might, depending on who you are, you sleep a little bit more than you work. But so if you're not taking the time to connect that to why your work matters, as entrepreneurs and business startup people, like think about that when you're creating your business model or you're trying to envision the culture of work that you're looking to have. What's appealing? Like, what are people looking for? The things have totally changed since COVID.
No, I love it. Thank you, Brandon. So looking ahead, what's next for Community Builder? You've been expanding rapidly. You talked about quality. You talked about people. You talked about relationships. How do you make sure that all balances while you continue to grow?
Yeah, that's really the million-dollar question, is we just want to make sure that everything's in order, that we can do that successfully, right? That people aren't getting burned out, and that we have the proper staff and channels to just make this work successful. So I think what's next for us is we're going to venture into a couple more communities, and we're going to take stock on how that goes, and hopefully a few more after that.
That's great. And how do people find you?
They can find us on our website, www.communitybuilders.co, or they can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, which is, I believe, something similar to that. Yeah.
So I was so inspired by your story when we, you know, agreed to partner with you and Barry. And then I got to see you in action and your team in action, and really feel that vibe of the people who are being trained and who work for you. So thank you very much, Brandon, for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Jan, everybody at Meridian, for all the support. We appreciate it.
Thanks again to Brandon for joining me on the show. Building a business is so much more than just strategy and execution. He made it clear that when you lead with purpose and listen deeply to those you serve, the impact can be truly transformative. If you're inspired by today's episode, remember, leadership is a journey, not a destination. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. And don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Big Impact on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Thanks for tuning in.